All right, guys, could we go ahead and get started? If it's like last week, people will be still coming in, you know, for a little while. They still got to drop off kiddos and then join us. And if we need to open the back up, we can, like we did last week, and in order to have room for everybody. And first of all, just say good morning. Hope you've had a good week. And I'm Glenda DiGiacinto, and on behalf of the counseling ministry, we want to welcome you to our Growing Healthy Marriages series for this fall. And for our visitors, I want to say a very special welcome. We're very glad you chose to spend time with us. The book that we are going to be using for this class, The Marriage You Want, is this one. Christie's looks like this.
Well, mine looks like this. In any case,
Lots to cover in it. Christie's going to be our speaker today in Chapter 2, The Teamwork You Want. Now, next week, Andy Katayama is going to be our instructor, and it's going to be The Friendship You Want. And then, speaking of Andy, perfect timing. And here's Andy. Okay, we're telling about the chapter you're going to teach next week. Looking forward. Hi. Good morning. Good morning. Come right in. And then the week after that, Christy and Tim are going to practice what they preach. You know, today she's going to talk about teamwork. Well, when they teach together, they're going to team teach on passion. So you might want
to... We're practicing our teamwork.
Okay.
We're not coming to practice our passion.
I didn't mean it that way. I really meant they're going to talk, you know, in class together as a team. You know, I got in trouble. I was embarrassed just saying the S word in class in Sunday school, the sex word, you know. And now here I've already, you know, this morning. Okay. All right. And so, as you can tell, we have a lady today of many talents. She came straight from the hospital. She was texting me. I'm on my way. And she's had a crazy night. Not only how busy working, how blessed those children are to be in her care, and the parents of those children are especially blessed, because Christy not only takes care of the kids, she's taking care of the parents when she's taking care of those kiddos. So, a lady of many talents, and certainly a lady who is in love with the Lord. And we want to thank you for the time you spent in preparing for the class today. And Christy, it's all yours. And they brought.
Okay, yeah. I'll do that at the end so that nobody gets distracted. Okay. Like Glenda said, I did come straight from work. It was a crazy night. If I start slurring my words, I have not been drinking this morning. I probably should have had more coffee. Actually, it ran out sometime about lunchtime. Lunchtime meaning like 2 in the morning-ish. So I love my night shifts, but sometimes it's a little crazy. So I didn't get here early enough. I need a couple of volunteers
just to read in simple words. So we'll need them later in the class. So I'm just if you could just pass these around. A few people take
a few words. We'll need them later. So last week, Linda talked about unity. how we should see each other as partners in a marriage. Partners where each person matters and brings their own strengths and gifts to the marriage relationship. Glenda shared useful tools to improve communication in our marriages, tackle conflicts and not tackle each other, and work towards both spouses feeling loved and respected. My big takeaway last week was Glenda's question, am I lifting up my spouse to be all God created them to be? Funny story, all I had out last week was the index card. And so I wrote my things about Tim on one side, like she told us to. And I wrote my answers to the question on the other. But then she asked the question. And so I wrote it in the corner of my index card. Well, I worked last Sunday night. And so when I woke up and went to get ready and have breakfast before I went to work, Tim was already at Life Group. and he had left the index card out nicely, his copy, for me to read. And I was like, well, I should leave mine to hit out for him. And then I realized I didn't want to be asking him that question and accusing him of that. So then it ended up with like this post-it note over here that was like, I was just making a note to myself. There's no pointy questions here. But that was my takeaway, was to think about, are we lifting up our spouses to be all that God created them to be? So this week's topic is teamwork, which is a deeper look into how we act out the belief that we are partners or teammates who are working towards the same goal, a healthy marriage. Before I go too much further, I want to circle back to something I think I alluded to in my introduction week. This book doesn't offer cookie-cutter advice to help marriages thrive. Authors point out that marriage advice that works for one marriage might be disastrous for another. In some couples, it's wise for each spouse to think about putting the other spouse's needs ahead of their own. In other marriages, that advice needs to be balanced with the reassurance that both spouses have needs that matter. That reassurance was often missing in the messages I heard and the books I read. And so today, I want to start by reminding everyone here, you are created in the image of God. You are enough, and you matter. So, since we aren't offering a specific step-by-step recipe for a healthy marriage, what can we do? It boils down a lot to communication and often having hard conversations. But my purpose this week is to take a few examples from the book and offer a few different ways to look at your relationship dynamics within your marriage in the hopes that one of these will resonate with you and help you communicate more effectively. As Tim and I were talking about this lesson, the lesson he and I will be presenting in a few weeks, and just our marriage in general, we reflected on some meaningful things we've learned along the years. Sometimes we don't even remember the point of a specific lesson, but we remember a little something that stuck with us and become part of our lives. So, as an illustration, I'll share a short story about one such instance. Some of you may remember some years ago, probably pre-COVID, when Matt and Leela used to teach the marriage classes in the fall. Kind of, we were in the back room, crowded room, and Leela brought the information, and as Tim and I refer to these classes, Matt brought the color commentary, and that's what made it beautiful. So I have no idea what they were talking about, what scripture they were using, what book we were using that year. We don't remember any of that, but they shared a useful phrase that we refer back to often, and it's settling minor disagreements. They use a 0 to 10 scale and ask each other, how much do you care? Side note, sorry, I'm a nurse. I rank everything on a 0 to 10 scale. Sorry, but in our house, sometimes we'll be discussing, for instance, where we want to go eat. I might say, I was thinking maybe let's go get burgers. Let's go to In-N-Out. But it's only like a 2. And Tim might respond, well, I've been hoping for Mexican, and it's been a long time since we've had tacos. So that's more like a 5 or a 6. Since obviously I already said it's a 2. I don't really care where we get dinner. I just am hungry. Probably hangry at that point. But so we settle and we'll go to Mexican because he cares more. Silly example. And he has a better example using tacos for our passion class, but, you know, wait, it's all about food. It really is. So, but you can use that for more significant things, too. How much do you really care where you go on vacation? Usually, if it's me, I just care that I'm not going to work and I'm going on vacation. And so Tim has these plans. It's beautiful. I'm the vacation princess, if there ever was one. Just tell me where to go. Tell me what to pack. I'm there. So, back to chapter 2 in our book, what I'm supposed to be talking about today, the teamwork you want. So, Tim and I discussed this chapter at length. Like, seriously, we were kind of like on a weekend drive, and we were looking at stuff, and we went for a hike and this and that. And so I read most of the chapter to him in the car, and we talked about it. It was beautiful. So, but the problem is, we've talked about so much stuff. We were like, well, we should add in this. And I'm like, no, that's later in the book. And he's like, well, what about I'm like, no, that's chapter such and such. And we were looking, and so just trust me, there's a lot of really great stuff left to come. So today, the chapter has two main models of to illustrate concepts surrounding teamwork within a marriage. So while I show up today in my scrubs, this is my second career. My first career, a lifetime ago, or, well, three kids lifetime ago, I was an elementary school teacher. I told a kid that the other night at work, and they were like, what did you teach? And I started listing off, and she's like, you were a specials teacher. So I wasn't just a special teacher. I taught specials. I was a small school, so I did. I taught art, music, computers, PE, you know, and I had a preschool class too, but, you know, I was young, and I needed a job, and yep, they had a job. So you get the elementary teacher version of these concepts so that hopefully something might stick and it might be useful for you. We'll see. So I'm going to start with a hierarchy of marital needs pyramid that Sheila and Keith Gregoire created for this book. So think way, way back to basic psychology. Anybody remember hearing about Maslow's hierarchy of needs? Now, in education and in healthcare, we pay a lot of attention to it, but I brought a reminder. So, yeah, for the record, I can make PowerPoint presentations. I just feel more at home with paper and glue sticks. So it was in my comfort zone this week, and really, if I could have found a flannel graph, I would have been all over it. So quick review. Maslow was an American psychologist who created a theory of psychological health based on fulfilling our innate human needs. He arranged these needs in a pyramid shape with the most basic needs at the bottom and culminating with self-actualization, which means achieving your full potential at the top. So at the bottom, we have physiological needs such as air, food, water, shelter, rest. Yeah, something about rest. Above that, we have other basic needs such as security and safety. Moving up, we move into psychological needs like love and belonging and esteem. Esteem meaning a feeling of accomplishment. Finally, at the top, we have our full potential, which includes creative activities. So, generally speaking, individuals have to fulfill the bottom level needs before they can move on up. So, in the classroom as a teacher, I knew that if my kids showed up tired and hangry, they weren't going to pay any attention to algebra. Addison talks about how she wanted to talk about calculus before breakfast, but I'm convinced she is not a normal child. So I got coffee and food and then talked about calculus. So, but the similar argument could be made. Even if a kid shows up and had breakfast and had enough sleep and is not in pain, that if they don't feel safe in the classroom, they don't feel like they belong, then they can't learn. And so, back to marriage. So, the Gregoires simplified the five steps into just three steps. Three layers. Surviving, living, and thriving. So, in the surviving tier, we're in survival mode. I think we've all been there. We're so focused on making sure there's enough money for food and rent. We're taking care of our children's basic needs and making sure we get some sleep. In this tier, spouses focus on taking care of the must-dos and hopefully try to do so without hurting each other. In a sense, this can kind of almost be like a roommate stage and hopefully is the bare minimum for a Christian marriage, that we're taking care of the basic needs without being hurtful to each other. Spouses are generally considerate, trying not to make life harder for the other person. But while there may be seasons of tier one, that's not the goal. Tier two, the living tier, is the social one. You can focus on things that make life more enjoyable, building your marriage relationship, creating a more comfortable, pleasing home, finding a church you enjoy. In this tier, you can make time for and enjoy sex. And then tier three kind of echoes Maslow's self-actualization tier, one where the marriage starts to fulfill its full potential. Your relationship is a source of strength in your life, and you can focus on what you feel called to do, both individually and as a couple. Each spouse feels loved and accepted, and each spouse is living out their passions. And yes, your sex life improves and becomes true sexual intimacy. An important thing to note about these tiers is that the health of your marriage will always be defined by the lowest level a partner is at. If the wife's a stay-at-home mom, or even a working mom that takes on the bulk of the childcare rearing responsibilities and is drowning in survival mode, the husband really can't claim that the marriage is in a living tier. So, here's my audience participation time, because it's always more fun if we can talk a little bit, but nothing too personal right now, because we are still recording. We'll cut off the recording later. So, I asked a few people with post-it notes to give some ideas. We're going to pretend it who wants to be a millionaire. If you were in Tim's class on Wednesday, we talked about this. So you can phone a friend, we can ask the audience, and we're going to put things on our pyramid. So I think Lori has our first one.
And it's obviously surviving.
Bill.
Yeah.
Surviving. But you said obviously. Mm-hmm. What about if the bill is for our internet provider?
I don't know, in our house,
that's
still surviving.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, if you have kids doing school at home, too. Okay. Netflix?
No.
Okay. How about a gym membership? And living? Okay. Okay. Diana, do you have number two? You have three. Who has number two?
Food.
But I would say that could be all three, but
okay. So I would agree. Like, we need some amount of food, but I would put healthy food. Healthy food. I mean, it could be surviving or living, but what about your favorite foods? Or having a variety of foods. Okay? These are the kind of conversations we can have in our marriage and deciding what matters. So, you have number three?
Kids' education. I think we have a responsibility for that.
The book put an interesting spin on this, talking about compromising within the marriage and what tiers everything is on. There was a conflict between a husband and wife, and the wife wanted to homeschool, felt called to homeschool, and felt called to use very expensive homeschool curriculum. And the father wanted to be supportive, but he was having to work extra jobs, and they were running up the credit card bills. So see, this is where we kind of go. We might circle back to some of the other post-it notes. I didn't know how much time we need. Some of the other things we could talk about is like a clean house versus a house ready for my mother-in-law to visit. You know, exercise versus maybe taking on a big commitment like training for a marathon. There's a reason I've only run half marathons. It's just too much time. We even, as we were brainstorming holidays, when you have small kids, I would maintain there is a certain bare level minimum of holiday celebration. You know, I mean, you've got to have Christmas gifts at Christmas. But my mom's house could be in Southern Living magazine, if any of you guys have ever seen Southern Living. I mean, she loves decorating. In my family, I am the queen of we pulled it off celebrations. You know what? And I can pull off big celebrations. I can pull off May the 4th be with you with a little bit of Han Solo and some Jell-O Carbonite. You know, we have done it all. But I am the queen of, oh my gosh, there's a holiday coming up. Nobody will ever get an on-time birthday card from me. Like, my family just is like, we love you, Christy. We get gifts sometime. And it's probably because you missed our birthday, but we've forgotten by now, and so we just get random gifts, you know? But in my mind, that was in the thriving realm that I didn't get to. And so going back to what I said earlier, there's not one formula for how you arrange your marriage. It's going to involve thoughts and discussions and sometimes compromise. So this model gives us a framework that can help find healthy compromises, especially compromises regarding how one spouse spends their time. These sorts of compromises can only happen if the partners are functioning at the same tier. You can't try to swap a thriving need for a surviving need. So, switching gears, I have another illustration. Again, because what one sticks for one person or one couple might not have an impact on another one. You guys might not care about my hierarchy of pyramid. So I have another one because I'm an elementary school teacher, and that's what I do. I bring props. So you may have seen the jar example before. I brought an empty jar, and if Addison or Lauren were here, they would point out that this is not an empty jar. It is full of air. You know, but I think we can all agree that we can add stuff to the jar. So I have some rocks. I have some smaller rocks. Okay. I just now realized these are clean. They came from Amazon. They are not stolen from the hospital, even though they look like specimen cups. We use them for all kinds of stuff in our house, but they are clean, not ever been used, not even been in the, oh, well, they've been in the hospital because I take them in my lunch just because I'm weird that way, but. Yeah, nobody steals it, you know, and some glitter. So, okay. So I know you guys have probably seen this example. And it could be done other ways, but I was working with what I could easily find, you know, because that's what I do. So if we're going to imagine this as our marriage relationship, we have to put the bigger rocks in first. And so we're going to put in the things that we were thriving about. Our jobs. Could be our church. Could be the kids' education. It could be that we decided to get a dog, a puppy. And we took on that commitment. And so we fill in with all of the bare minimum. I mean, there's a bare minimum of cleaning the house that you have to do, the level between gross and not and livable. So we start with filling with that. And that is the equivalent to our surviving mode. So, you know, so that's the basic things. And some of the rocks I put in there were things that got added, things we wouldn't have chosen, medical appointments, fighting with TRICARE over paying for those appointments, healthy food and time for exercise when I'm managing my type 1 diabetes, work stress when you took a job and the work turns out to be more stressful than you thought. Some of the big rocks we can't change. But that's what we're working with in our marriage. And sometimes, as Tim and I were talking, we found ourselves other times saying, oh, that was a big rock. We can't get rid of it right now. Let's figure out how we're going to work with that big rock in there. So some of the rocks we decided to add. While we still had kids at home, we had baseball season. We had chorale concerts in December. Everybody wants to hear Christmas music in December. And if you have teenagers that sing, especially for like not school things, we had just moved to Tucson, Arizona, and Addison was like, okay, concert here, 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 and here. I was like, thank goodness for GPS. Mm-hmm. You know, I learned more about that city driving to chorale concerts than I ever thought I would. Same thing when we moved here, but, some of those are tier two wishes. But once we've committed, they're rocks that we have to work at in our marriage jar. So ideally, we would discuss those rocks before we make a commitment, keeping in mind factors that affect each spouse separately. Story in the book, I'm not sure if it was told in regard to their rock illustration, but it was in this chapter, was talking about a wife that just loves cats. And so she went out. And she rescued, like, six or seven cats. And so there are litter boxes here, and there's cat food here, and all of this. The thing is, her husband is very allergic to cats, and he works from home. So he's popping Zyrtec and Benadryl and sniffling through his phone, Zoom meetings, and all of that. Ideally, they would have discussed maybe the wisdom of the cat beforehand, you know. There's a reason that Tim doesn't have a dog, so we'll just say that. So, so once we fit all of the big rocks in as a couple, then we can start adding in the little stuff, more of the living stuff. And so I found some aquarium gravel. And so what we, as we were discussing, and this was our own discussion out of the book, not from that, is that sometimes you have hobbies, interests that are just one person. So Tim's favorite color is green. So we can put in some green rocks. And I picked purple. So little purple rocks in for me. I'm a little extra. You know, if Tim were here, he would agree with that. But we also, we picked a third color, blue, to illustrate the stuff we want to do together or as a family. Now, obviously, if you have kids and more colors in your bag of aquarium gravel, you could keep adding. But the idea is looking at it and seeing where's the balance in here. So, you know, sometimes the rocks come in like little onesies things, a coffee date with a friend, money spent on a book that you'd just like to read, or a Sunday afternoon nap. Sometimes the gravel comes in bigger chunks, but can be fit around other commitments. So when we were in living in Tucson, I was part of a group of runners. It was a group of girls from church that trained for a series of races because we were kind of crazy. So it was a, it started off easy with a 5K, and it was in the evening, so it was actually like reasonable time to run in Tucson. And it was actually really fun because we ran through neighborhoods and most of the people had turned on their sprinklers. So they sprayed out over the runners. So, and then on Labor Day, it was an 8-mile run through Saguaro National Park. And then along in October, it was a half marathon. So it was a big time commitment. But we were able to squeeze in all of our runs because we all balanced in the little tiny area of the side. We would meet, I believe it was like 5:30 in the morning to run, because we had to get done with our run in time for one mom to, she knew her baby, who was maybe 6 or 9 months when we started, would wake up to nurse. And so we had to be back in time for Marin to nurse her baby. You know, dad would get up with him, but, you know, she had to be back to bring the milk. And so, and then I was just hoping my kids didn't burn down the house because they were homeschooled, but the other moms had to get back for lunches and school drop-offs and all of that. So somewhere down here about 5:30 in the morning, we could squeeze in the training runs, you know? So it's up to you to decide, you know, what can I fit in? Is it a onesie, twosie? Is it a bigger commitment? And how will it fit in there? So in a sense, compromise within a marriage is making sure your jar looks balanced. Sometimes one spouse is trying to fit all the big rocks in the jar while the other one's fussing over how the jar doesn't have enough of their favorite color gravel. Sometimes when I felt like my needs weren't getting met, I was only seeing what was missing, not enough purple gravel, and not why is there not room to add that to our busy lives. So for completeness sake, since we have three layers, I did bring some glitter because, like I said, I was an art teacher. And so I think I should represent the thriving part of marriage by dumping in some glitter. So there we go. And this is something that since, actually, it's been sitting out on our counter for a week or two now, Tim and I have been talking about, you know, and I think in the future we can look at decisions and be like, oh, that's going to be a big rock in our jar. Can we do that? Or, you know what? You've had a lot of your gravel in lately. I think I need to add some more of my gravel in. And so compromising whether is not pointing out what you don't have, but looking at the bigger picture sometimes. So The third way the Gregoires talked about teamwork was building on our rocks and gravel. They called the rock issues the foundation and the gravel the frills. So if you don't like the academic pyramid or the elementary art project, you can also just think of it as foundations and frills. Some things in a marriage are foundational to your marital health. And some things are frills you just want to enjoy. And as you look at a compromise, make sure you aren't trying to swap frills for foundations. All three of these examples can be used to illustrate a situation that can kill a marriage: entitlement. The Gregoires define entitlement as any time one person believes they deserve frills with having to build the foundation. No one is entitled to someone else working harder in the marriage or family than they do. I had this example earlier and cut it, but now seems like a perfect time. I shared the story of A.W. Tozer. He's a preacher and writer, fairly famous, or at least I had heard of him. So he was, and this is an interesting one that we thought about for a little bit, talked about. It's not something that I'm going to have to mull it over a bit, but that's why I brought it, so we'd have something to mull over. So, preacher and writer A.W. Tozer was so dedicated to God that he lived a life of simplicity, taking public transit, never buying new clothes, and spending hours face down in prayer every day. I mean, seems inspiring. Seems like it could be something worth reaching for. But this wasn't a difficult life for him to live, but it significantly burdened his wife, Ada, as she tried to wrangle 7 children on the subway to go grocery shopping or walk them in the snow to church. He always put ministry before his family and left his family broken in his wake. He died fairly young, and his widow remarried. When asked about her 2 husbands, Ada replied, "Aiden, A.W., love Jesus. Leonard loves me." And so I just, when I read that, I thought how important it would be to take a step back and look. And where are your priorities? How are they balanced between the spouses? And I thought that was, well, admirable that he would devote so much of his time to ministry. I looked at the family he didn't minister to, because they weren't communicating. They weren't reaching a compromise on the same tier. She was surviving and probably struggling to survive. He was thriving. So that to me was their best example of entitlement, is when one spouse, whether it be the husband or the wife, is so focused on their needs or what they aren't getting, they've lost sight of the big picture. So, along those same lines, as married couples, we need to have the hard discussions about how we're classifying our needs and make sure we judge things fairly. Are we both arguing about gravel? Or does one person see the rock as an see the issue as a rock and the other gravel? Going back to one of these examples, food. My family loves a variety of complicated foods. They really do. And I, for many years, I spoiled them because I learned to cook a variety of complicated foods. Some of you may not know that Lauren was dependent on a feeding tube for the first 4 years of her life. Did not eat anything by mouth. And later she learned to eat. We thought it was a brilliant idea. We went to a program that taught kids to eat by exploring all the new tastes and all of this. Yeah, it works for some kids. Lauren came away with, the only purpose in eating is to try something new. And while any of you that have had a picky eater might think that sounds like a beautiful problem to have because you are tired of making mac and cheese and chicken nuggets for the 27th night in a row, it was a special challenge when she looked at me and said,
this chicken dish is good, but you've made it too often. And she took a bite and set the rest of the plate away. At the time, I had been keeping like a menu, just where I had scribbled in the side of my calendar what we were having so I could make a grocery list. It had been 8 weeks prior. I had fixed it for the first time. Yeah. And at the time, she could not eat any of the top allergens. So no milk, no soy, no wheat, no anything. Everything was made from scratch. And don't repeat it more than every, I don't know. I mean, 8 weeks was too short. So, you know, and so in that case, the variety of the food actually, in order to keep her growing and work towards our goal of getting off the feeding tube, was more of a survival. But once she could have other foods, yeah, that went up here. So, and when I went to nursing school, which was a huge rock we dumped in our jar, I taught Tim and Lauren how to make foods, and they quit really caring about complicated meals all of a sudden. So, you know, just to realize that in the stages of your marriage, things can change. And that's where the communication, the teamwork piece comes in, working through all of that. So, my takeaway, a healthy teamwork approach to marriage is one in which the couple focuses on the needs for the relationship and then finds a solution, a win-win solution that works for both of them, keeping in mind where this falls in the importance between foundations and frills. In other words, they identify the rocks together and then figure out how to get them in their jar. So that is the end of what I prepared today.